In Focus on Images, boosting New Mexico's economy. How to do it? The nonprofit, nonpartisan group Think New Mexico has some ideas. My guest today from Think New Mexico is Executive Director Fred Nathan. Fred, thanks for being here.
Fred, thank you for having me as a guest.
It's great to have you with us. We're going to get to the topic at hand in just a moment. But first, for folks who are not familiar with your organization, give us a little background.
Sure. Well, we're a public policy think tank serving the state of New Mexico, and we're a little bit different than most think tanks that your listeners may be aware of. You know, most think tanks are either way, way over on the left or way, way over on the right, and we just believe in a state that's 49th or 50th in too many of these national rankings that the focus ought to be on solutions rather than ideology. And consistent with that, we have a board of directors made up of Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and I think your viewers probably know several of them. For example, our board chair for many years is Governor Gary Carruthers, president of NMSU, a former Republican governor. We also have a former Democratic attorney general, and the current board chair is Roberta Ramo, the first woman president of the American Bar Association, and now a lawyer with the Module firm in Albuquerque. So it's a group of statesmen and stateswomen, and we're best known for getting a full-day kindergarten law through the legislature, repealing the food tax, reforming the lottery, and reforming, most recently, the Public Regulation Commission.
Yes, and of course, we covered that very issue on KRWG-TV's Newsmakers with you, a very important
right.
issue, which was, of course, very successful at the polls. Folks had to vote on PRC reform. For the legislative session that is coming up, you're focusing on New Mexico's economy, and in particular, job creation, a very important issue which we're going to be talking about for the rest of our time together today. To start with, we often hear about the jobless rate in New Mexico, and for that matter, nationally, and it's been hovering around 7%. But to frame this issue, you look at a broader number, which I think is very important. It looks also at the so-called underemployed.
Correct. And I'm glad you asked that question, because I don't think it's always reported on very well, because there's another 7% who are what the economists called underemployed, meaning they're working generally part-time, but they're seeking full-time work. So when you put those numbers together, we're really talking about 14%. And to put those in real numbers, that's about 137,000 New Mexicans who are either unemployed or underemployed.
That's right. And of course, this percentage is much higher in some other states. And it's much higher in certain demographics. We've heard across the country, one of the major challenges in this recovery is that younger people are having a very difficult time getting full-time work, and in some cases getting part-time work as well. So this is a serious matter. You have a variety of suggestions that we're going to be talking about for boosting job creation. First, I want to talk about where you got those suggestions. I know you talked to a lot of people, and you also referenced a group called the Kauffman Foundation. So let's talk about that.
Well, the first thing, since we're a tiny think tank with only 3.8 employees, we don't really think of ourselves as experts in job creation. So we wanted to talk to the experts, which is what we do on whatever the issue is that we're tackling. We talked to nearly 100 people, Fred, who are on the front lines of job creation. These are job incubators, job recruiters, serial entrepreneurs, CEOs, bankers, business school professors, and business school deans. And we got a lot of good suggestions. And one of the people we talked to, for example, who was extremely helpful, is Kevin Boberg at the Arrowhead Center here in New Mexico. And in addition to those interviews, we tried to survey all of the literature and research that's been done about what works and what doesn't work when it comes to state economic development. And you're right, we were most influenced by a group out of Kansas City called the Kauffman Foundation, which is a wonderful organization that is completely focused on entrepreneurship. And they've done some really good work, and one of the things that they have written about is the fact that most states try to pick winners and losers and pick certain industries and throw money at them, in effect. And they suggest that that has really underperformed, and that a better strategy for states to take is to adopt policies that improve the entrepreneurial and business climate for all businesses. And so they had some specific ideas. First, that you should focus on building your base of entrepreneurship. Secondly, trying to reduce administrative burdens on business. And then third, policies that accelerate the growth of existing businesses. So what we did is we focused in on one reform in each of those three areas.
Okay, let's take them one by one, Fred, because they all are very important. And you mentioned, as a matter of fact, that one of the people that you talk with in New Mexico is right here at New Mexico State University, our Director of Economic Development, and working at the Arrowhead Center, where they do try to encourage entrepreneurs and give them a place to do their work. Let's talk about how to increase the number of entrepreneurs in New Mexico statewide.
So this is a fascinating area, and one where Kevin was incredibly helpful. And so we started with some of the Kaufman research just to find out demographically who are the people that are likely to become entrepreneurs. And they fall into two groups. The first are people in the so-called STEM fields. That's an acronym, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. The second group are immigrants, and it turns out that, and this has always been the case, that immigrants are more than twice as likely as native people to start businesses, and there are lots of theories about that. Perhaps they're more accustomed to taking risk as they did when they came here, but this goes back a long way. So, for example, if you look at the Fortune 500, more than 40% of those businesses were started by immigrants or the children of immigrants. Even companies like Procter & Gamble, I forget which is which, but Procter, I believe, was from Scotland, and Gamble was from England. More recently, Intel, which is a big employer in New Mexico, was founded by Andy Grove, among others, who's from Hungary, came here from Hungary. Sergey Brin from Russia started Google. So this is a good group to look at. So all we did is said to ourselves, what if we put those two groups together, international people and people who are studying STEM fields? So we started looking at college students, and we were surprised to find that at our major public universities, only about 2.2% of our students in the undergraduate schools at NMSU and Tech and UNM are international. And we thought, part of that reason might be because we charge out-of-state tuition to those kids, which is one of the highest rates in the country, whereas our in-state tuition is relatively inexpensive. So our first major proposal is to reduce out-of-state tuition to in-state tuition for international students in the STEM fields. And I know this might be controversial in some circles, but one thing that makes us very certain that this is a good idea is a gentleman in Albuquerque named Andy Lim, who came here about 10 years ago because of an earthquake in his native country of Taiwan. And he came here because of serendipity. There was a friend he had here, but that didn't work out. But he liked New Mexico. He stayed and went to UNM, where he got a degree in management information systems. Very smart guy, speaks four languages, but when he came here, didn't speak English. So he also learned English while at UNM, and then also had a full-time job. Anyway, after he graduated, he started a web design business, and one of his clients, Sushi King, which is a restaurant, came to him and said, we need help with our starting some sort of point-of-sale software, so that our waiters and waitresses can take orders more quickly and we can turn tables more quickly and get the orders back to our kitchen more accurately. He did that, and it was so successful that he marketed it to other restaurants. And in 3 years, he's now in 3,000 restaurants in over 60 countries. And he's got venture capitalists from both countries knocking on his door. And most importantly, he's hired 37 New Mexicans with high-wage jobs and with great benefits. And what's important about this story is he came here because of serendipity. Our idea is, what if we made the tuition more affordable so more students would come here intentionally? And then we could expand our pool of entrepreneurs. Now, not all of them will stay, but many will, and that will help generate economic development because many of those kids will start businesses if past is prologue, as they say.
Absolutely. Well, that's very interesting. Another suggestion that I know was in your list of suggestions was to reduce administrative burdens, and you have a very specific recommendation in regard to this.
Right here, we looked around the country and we noticed that 18 states, Fred, have what are called online business portals, which are designed to, you know, speed the paperwork processing times and improve the climate for business, because businesses in New Mexico, new businesses and existing businesses, have to file with multiple state agencies, everything from tax and rev to the workers' comp, to the labor department. And so what many states have done is moved to a single portal where you sign up just once. And here we were influenced when we talked to a gentleman in Albuquerque who runs a business park for health startup companies, and he told us this would be a great idea because he sees that a lot of these entrepreneurs pay $5,000 to $10,000 to law firms to take care of all of that because it's so burdensome and time consuming. And this way, if you make it easier, that's money they can reinvest in their businesses when they're starved for capital. So that's the second idea.
Okay, and the third one I know is to facilitate the growth of existing employers. Tell me about that.
Well, here we were looking at how we do economic development in New Mexico, which is very similar to many states, and some have called it a race to the bottom because the states are competing against each other and sort of trying to bribe businesses to relocate here and so forth. But Utah has started a program that seems to us to be much more effective, and they focus on post-performance tax incentives. The idea here is when companies come to them either wanting to expand in-state or relocate from out-of-state, they say, there's no point in trying to pitch us. What we will do for you is we will, in effect, rebate to you up to 30% of your income taxes, sales taxes, and withholding taxes based on how many jobs you create. So the better you do, the better we do, and the larger the tax rate rebate will be. And they have a nickname for it in Utah that I particularly like, which is you don't get a dime until we get a dollar. And it is truly a win-win system that rewards those companies that are doing the most to grow the economy. And just to give you a sense, Fred, of how successful it's been, they've been doing this for 5 years in Utah. It's their only tool in their economic development toolbox. So they trace more than 25,500 jobs in 5 years to this tax incentive. And what's really exciting is that these are not just everyday jobs. These are jobs from companies like Oracle and Boeing and Procter & Gamble, eBay and Amazon. And so it's been very, very effective in Utah, and we don't see any reason why it couldn't work the same way here in New Mexico.
Okay, some very interesting ideas, and of course, for them to take effect in New Mexico, you will need help on the legislative side. You're asking the governor and the legislature to enact these policies. What will it take, in your opinion, Fred, to convince them?
Well, I think what's helping us and why I believe the wind is at our backs is that this is the number one issue in the state, both from, you know, both sides of the aisle, I think, are focused on this. And there are not a lot of proposals out there, so maybe we'll be the first ones to get shot down. but I'm confident. We've just begun the process in the last few days of briefing legislators and the governor's staff, and had a very productive meeting with Keith Gardner, who's the chief of staff to Governor Martinez. And I just spoke to Democrat Mary Kay Papin from Las Cruces this morning. And we got some very positive feedback. Of course, they want to see the legislation, which we haven't drafted, before they make any commitments. But based on those conversations, I think there was a receptivity and a responsiveness that really was encouraging and heartening from our standpoint.
Okay, well, we certainly will hope to be speaking with you after the legislation, or legislative session, I should say, for a follow-up on this, and be talking about where these ideas went during the session. Fred Nathan is the executive director of Think New Mexico. Fred, thank you so much for being with us.
Fred, thank you for having me. And if your listeners want to know more, they're welcome to go to our website at www.thinknewmexico, written out as one word, .org. Many thanks.